Shall we kneel in prayer? Our Father in heaven, as we come to near the end of this day, we are indeed thankful that we've had the privilege and the opportunity, Father, to be here, to worship Thee and to serve Thee, to learn of Thee. We're thankful, Father, for the love we have one for another and the fellowship that we've enjoyed. And we ask that that same spirit of love and fellowship would continue to rest and abide upon us. Forgive us our weaknesses, our sins, our shortcomings. Help us, Father, to overcome those things that hinder our service unto Thee. We pray, Father, for the sick and the afflicted, praying Your Spirit to be poured out upon them, to raise them up, to comfort and guide and direct. We pray, Father, for Your church and the work of the gospel in these latter days, that Thy Holy Spirit indeed would guide and direct our thoughts and our hearts and our desires, that we'd be worthy servants in Thy hand. We pray, my Heavenly Father, that You'd be with the coming youth camp and the ministers' conference this year, that Thy Spirit would be there as we meet together. Father, as our brother and Thy servant would stand before us this night, we ask Thy guiding Spirit to be his. Open his understanding and loosen his tongue. And I pray that the message that Thou have for Thy people this night would be given by the gift and the inspiration of Thy Holy Spirit. Father, we do now leave ourselves into Thy care and into Thy keeping, inviting Thy Spirit to touch not only our speaker, but each of us who would listen, that we'd be attentive and our hearts would be open to Thy message this night. We ask it in the name of Christ. Amen. I'd ask now that you give your prayerful and your kind attention to our brother, Gordon McCann, as he would bring the word of the Lord to us this evening. Brother Gordon.
Thank you, Brother Ken. Thank you, Margaret, for your special. I appreciate it. Good evening. Don't have a whole lot of people out there, but I'm glad to see those who are. Tonight for my text, I'd like to turn to the book of Isaiah. And you'll find it in the 28th chapter and the 16th verse. Here it says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste or be forced to flee." I think you all could recognize that that precious cornerstone, that tried stone, was Jesus Christ. And if that cornerstone isn't in your life, you have no foundation. I hope tonight, as I bring forth some scripture to you, that you might see that in these last days, that we're going to have that need of that precious stone, that precious cornerstone in our life. In the book of Matthew, let's turn over there in the 16th chapter. Here Christ is speaking to Peter. He asked him a question. I think it was very important. And the Lord thought it'd be important. And I think we have to ask that same question to ourselves. Here in the 13th verse in the 16th chapter of Matthew, it says, "When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And Simon Peter, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, or the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," that understanding that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that precious cornerstone tried, lifted up on the cross, was sacrificed for us. That's what made it so precious, that our sins would be forgiven in this life and the life to come, to be remembered no more. And here he says, "And upon this rock I will build my church," that sure foundation, that cornerstone, "and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." It was very important that the disciples would understand that Jesus was the Son of God. And that hasn't changed. That hasn't changed. And that has to be our cornerstone, our foundation that we build upon. In the book of Helaman, in the second chapter, you can find it on page 557 in your Book of Mormons, starting in the 74th verse. It says, "And now, my sons, remember that it is upon the rock of our Redeemer, who is Christ, the Son of God, that ye must build your foundation. That when the devil shall send forth his mighty winds, yea, his shafts in the whirlwind, yea, when all his hail and his mighty storm shall beat upon you, it shall have no power over you to drag you down to the gulf of misery and endless woe, because of the rock upon which you are built, which is a sure foundation, a foundation whereon, if men build, they cannot fall." I feel very strongly that what we see today in our society, where our children are going off into directions of drugs and other things, and the suicide rate, all these things, even our young people and our young adults who are married three or four times in their lives, they can't find happiness. Why? Because they're not built upon this foundation, this simple principle of Jesus Christ. They have nothing to build upon. They build on a sandy foundation, those things that will crumble when these things come into their lives. It is very important for us, especially our children, that they might understand, we as individuals who have built upon that rock, to be a good guide for our children, that they might see that it's a sure foundation, something that they won't fall, something that's different than this world, something that they can hope for. And they can see within our lives that it is real and it's alive. Something that we just don't talk about. They can see it in our lives and it's alive. And it's well. A sure foundation for you, John. When you make your choices in your life, when you're desiring to be married, those things within your life, it's alive. And He will make you alive. And it's a foundation that you can count on in your life. And you, back there in the far corner of this church, the same thing. It is alive. Jesus Christ. And He's died for us. And it's something that we don't laugh about. It's for us to consider. A sure foundation in a world of turmoil. Something that this world is going to become more of. You can count on it. You can count on that. We can go over into the book of Jacob. In the third chapter, in the 21st verse here, we find that this brother talks about a prophecy that is to come, and it occurred, and we can see the result of it because of history. Starting with the 21st verse of the third chapter, that's on page 177. But behold, we are not witnesses alone in these things, for God also spake them unto the prophets of old. But behold, the Jews were a stiff-necked people, and they despised the words of plainness, and killed the prophets, and sought for the things that they could not understand. Wherefore, because of their blindness, which blindness came by looking beyond the mark, they must needs fall. For God hath taken away His plainness from them, and delivered unto them many things which they cannot understand, because they desired it. And because they desired it, God hath done it, that they may stumble. And now I, Jacob, am led of the, on by the Spirit unto prophesying, for I perceive by the workings of the Spirit which is in me, that by the stumbling of the Jews they will reject the stone upon which they might build, and have safe foundation. But behold, according to the Scriptures, this stone shall become the great and the last and the only sure foundation upon which the Jews can build. And that is the criteria even today, that the Lord is not going to allow any other thing other than that one foundation for the Jews to build upon. And He says, and now, my beloved, how is it possible that these, after having rejected the sure foundation, can ever build upon it, that it may become the head of their corner? And then He goes on and He talks it, and He tells you that that will be the case in the last days. But because they rejected that stone, they went through many years of turmoil, many years of hardship. You know the history. I don't have to rehearse it to you. And same as within our lives, if we reject that cornerstone or not allow it to be our cornerstone within our lives, we will stumble, we will fall, and we will have blindness. And I know many oft times we do look beyond the mark because of the simplicity of it. Of that simple, precious stone, Jesus Christ. In the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, let's get over here. In the 3rd chapter, Paul talks a little bit of what I'm speaking of tonight, starting with the 10th verse. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold and silver and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Here I feel that they can, in the scripture where he talks about that there are things that you could build on that foundation. Different materials here are listed, gold and silver and precious stone and wood and hay and stubble. We talked a little bit about that in Sunday school one day. I think we all at times can have done this very thing, have built on that foundation, different materials. And have we not also, as we have been tried by fire within our lives, those things that come within our lives, and those materials that we've built upon that were not of gold and silver, have we not found them to be lacking? And fail. And not really a part of that sure stone foundation of Jesus Christ. I know I have, and I thank God that He's pointed it out to me. In 2 Timothy, he continues this thought with them there concerning this foundation. In the 2nd chapter, verses 19 and 20, he says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor." And I know this is to be a fact, but I pray God that if we can recognize, if the Lord grants unto us to clear our vision, that we might see those things within our lives as we have built upon that foundation, those things that we need to remove from our life, that God would grant unto us the strength to remove it. And then to rebuild upon that foundation, the gold and the silver, those things that will be useful to God, and to be our part of our inheritance, so to speak, in the life to come. In the book of Luke, in the 14th chapter, here we find Jesus Christ speaking to a multitude. It's a great multitude, it says here. And he says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That sounds like pretty strong words. But here we find the word hate is a relative reference for one thing over another. Meaning that if you allow these individuals to take you from Jesus Christ and His teachings, then you're not worthy to be His disciple. You have to be strong enough to say, I won't listen to those things that will take me from Him. You have to be strong enough to do that within your life. And not allow those individuals that they listed there to draw you away from Him. He has to be number one in your life. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? I want to stop there. I think this is very important. I find that sometimes we do things out of haste. We make decisions out of haste. And we don't really consider the consequences of our decision. And here Jesus Christ is speaking to a multitude, and he wants them to consider. To consider the decision here, if they truly want to be his disciple. Do you really want to be my disciple? Now I want you to consider it. I want you to think about it very sincerely. Are you going to have sufficient to finish it? Going on, it says, less happily after he hath laid the foundation, and it is not able to, and is not able to finish it, all that beholdeth it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Becoming a disgrace, basically, to dishonor. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000, or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. Basically, here's this man, this king, and he sees a whole multitude out there. And he only has this many warriors. And he considers, well, can I beat him or not? And then he thinks, well, maybe the better part of valor is to send an ambassador over there. Maybe we can make peace. Maybe that would be the wise thing to do. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Very, very strong words. Let us consider. As Christ has asked those of the multitude, as we embark in being the disciples of Jesus Christ, embarking and building on that foundation, that rock, that we consider what we do and realize that we are standing on a sure foundation. I don't want to leave you without hope, because there is hope. And that's Jesus. And so long as you have your eye on that mark, you will be able to finish what you started. Let's turn back over to Luke in the 6th chapter. Starting with the 46th verse. Here again, the words of Christ. And he says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, and against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." The reason why I bring this to your attention tonight, I did a lot of praying and seeking the Lord to know exactly what it would be that I would bring to you tonight. And I waited patiently, and it took a long time, until just very shortly before I was to stand before you, these things came to me. The sure foundation that we're going to need in these last days. And I'm going to tell you why. We have a time now. We're not really persecuted now. Nothing like what you can read in the scripture that occurred back during the days of Christ and after him. What the disciples endured at that particular time. We really have no concept of those trials. If you read our own history at the beginnings of the gospel in the last days, in the restoration, if you read in the history, the trials that they went through and the persecutions, I feel the Lord wants you to be prepared. He wants to awaken you. If you have not built gold and silver on that foundation, if it's hay and stubble, it's going to fall. If your eye is not on the mark, you're going to fall. In 2 Nephi, in the 12th chapter, this is the reason. "For the kingdom of the devil must shake. His time will be short. And the Lord is going to shake that kingdom. And they which belong to it must needs be stirred up unto repentance, or the devil will grasp them with his everlasting chains, and they will be stirred up to anger and perish." And the part I want to concentrate on is they will be stirred up to anger. So those who reject Jesus Christ, who become part of Satan and his kingdom, they're going to be angry. And guess who they're going to be angry at? Guess where their focus is going to be on? They're going to be on all those who claim to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And more in particular, as they say, "This is of Christ," is going to make you a target. And if you are not on a foundation, that foundation that Jesus describes, it is going to be a very hard thing to stand. It says it's going to be impossible. "For behold, at that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men and stir them up to anger," listen, "against that which is good." We are going to be a target, and it's going to be very, just as it says, rage within their hearts. It's going to be very strong. vehemently, as the Lord said in the Bible, very violently. And it is very important that we consider the foundation that we stand on in these last days. I'm going to try and paint a picture for you, because in the book of Matthew it says concerning the last days that when they come upon us in the last days, let me get back over here to Matthew, that it's going to be different than any other time. It says, "For then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." And that's speaking of the day that is fast approaching. And I guess what I'm going to do now is I hope to make a visual impression upon you tonight. I'm going to give you 11 or maybe more, 12, 13 different individuals who built on that sure foundation. But it's a little different than what we might think in our heart and our mind as to what happened to them. And that raging that is spoken of here in the Book of Mormon, that anger that is going to be focused on us, is going to be no different than what happened to these. And are we ready? The Apostle Andrew, the brother of Peter, he was crucified on an X-shaped cross in Achaia, Greece. Bartholomew, he was the only one of noble birth. He was flayed alive with knives in India. James, the elder, the brother of Apostle John, he was beheaded by Herod. James, the younger, the brother of the Apostle Jude, his body was sawed in pieces in Egypt. John, the brother of James, the elder, he's the only one of all the apostles that died naturally. The Apostle Jude, the brother of James, the younger, was killed with arrows at Ararat. Matthew, he died of a martyr in Ethiopia. Peter crucified head down in Rome. Philip, he died by hanging at Hierapolis. It's Phrygia, which is a large province in Asia Minor. Simon died a martyr, crucified. Thomas, he was killed with a spear in India. That was the apostles. That anger was focused on them at that time. That raged within them. It's not going to be different. It's not going to be any different for us. When Jesus Christ, back in Matthew in the 4th chapter, here when he was walking, it says, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, this in the 4th chapter of Matthew in the 18th verse, and he saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. They made a decision. It doesn't say that they hesitated at all. I don't know if they considered the cost or not at that point in time. But I do know that at some point in time in their lives, they did consider that. And going on there thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, and a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and they immediately left his ship and their father and followed him. I dare say that as they embarked on that journey with Christ at that time, that they had no idea what was in store for them. But I do know every one of these that I spoke of tonight, they stood on that sure foundation. And though the anger that was against them that killed them, I know, and I have hope, that they are with Christ. There were others. Abinadi suffered by death by fire. Paul, he was crucified in Rome. Stephen, he was gnashed on by teeth and was stoned. And then we can see groups of people throughout the scripture. But there is hope. Our hope is not in this world, but in the world to come. In the book of Psalms, 118 Psalms, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever." Let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Even though he could destroy this fleshly body, what more can he do? I know some of you might think in your mind, well, goodness, that's all he can do. But has he really destroyed you? If you're on that foundation, has he really destroyed you? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Skipping over to the 14th verse. The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go into them, and I will praise thee, the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. And hear these prophetic words, verses 22 through 24, is exactly what Helaman was speaking of, where the Jew would reject that stone. The stone which the builders refused has become the head stone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. But our hope in this life is only in Christ, because we have a life that is going to be beyond this life. And I'm going to leave you with a few words in the book of Revelations. Here in the 21st chapter, I want you to think about these words. Have hope in these words as you have built on that foundation of Jesus Christ. It says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people." All those who built upon that precious stone, that's their promise. "And God himself shall be with them and be their God in this new world to come, not this world. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these things are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. My prayer is that we might awaken to the calling of God, to be aware of that sure foundation and to build upon it. And to be good examples before our children that they might have assurance that God is alive and He works within our lives. May God bless you.
Thank you, Gordon. I choose number 389 to close this evening. Father in heaven, we are indeed thankful for this day. Thankful for the many blessings that Thou hast given us. Thankful that we are able to be together to worship Thee and to serve Thee and to learn of Thee. And Father, as we walk in this life, we do ask that Thy Spirit would guide us and direct us, that indeed we would build upon that sure foundation, that we would teach our children well, that we would show them by example and by word and deed and thought this gospel and be a living example of You and Your Son. We ask again, Father, Thy blessing upon the sick and the afflicted, upon the many needs of Thy people. We ask special blessings for those who have the spiritual needs of life and ask that Thou would strengthen and guide and uplift them. Direct us in our decisions. Guide us in our walk before Thee, Father. We do ask that Thou would forgive us our sins. Strengthen us against the forces and the powers of Satan and keep us safe, Father, from harm or danger and from temptation. And may we always walk with Thy Spirit near to us. So until we meet again, Father, we ask that Thy Spirit indeed be our guide and our companion. We leave our lives in Thy care and Thy keeping in the name of Christ. Amen.